Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, How to Teach Economics to Your Dog, A Quirky's Introduction is an Accessible Economics Primer by Rebecca Campbell, written with Anthony McGowan, that uses walks with a dog named Monty as its organizing device. Rather than treating economics as a sequence of equations or graph-based models, the book introduces it as a way of asking how people and societies allocate scarce resources or organize production, exchange goods, and distribute wealth. Its scope is broad. It moves from foundational questions about the nature of economics to major historical thinkers, industrialization, markets, competition, money, and contemporary policy questions such as quantitative easing. The dog-centered premise is not presented as a substitute for the subject's seriousness. It is a method for keeping explanations grounded in ordinary life and free of unnecessary technical barriers. Designed for non-specialists, the book favors conversational clarity over formal instruction. Its central purpose is to show that economics is not only about prices and calculations, but also about institutions, power, history, incentives, and contested ideas of social fairness. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, economics is treated as a social and moral inquiry. Not only a mathematical discipline, a defining feature of the book is its insistence that economics cannot be reduced to technical calculation. It raises the basic question of whether economics should resemble a predictive mathematical science or a moral and philosophical inquiry into how scarce resources ought to be managed. That framing matters because economic decisions always involve choices about priorities, what is produced, who receives it, what counts as value, and which outcomes a society considers acceptable. Prices, income, employment, and public spending may be measured numerically, but the institutions behind them reflect human rules and political judgments. By beginning with this broader view, the book gives a newcomer a useful corrective to the impression that economics is simply a collection of formulas with mechanically correct answers. It explains why disagreement among economists and citizens is often substantive rather than merely technical. People can accept the same evidence while favoring different trade-offs between efficiency, security, equality, growth, or public provision. The informal format also supports this point. If economics affects the routine conditions of life, it should be intelligible beyond specialist classrooms. The book therefore positions basic economic literacy as an ability to identify scarcity, incentives, distribution, and institutional arrangements in everyday questions, not as the ability to perform advanced calculus. Secondly, 17 walks with Monty turn everyday situations into economic questions. Monty, the dog at the center of the book's premise, provides a practical narrative frame for an introductory survey of economics. Across 17 walks, the discussion links ideas that may appear remote in textbooks to the ordinary environments in which people live, work, buy, compete, and depend on public systems. The device is especially suited to a subject, often presented through abstract diagrams. A dog cannot read charts or follow a formal model, so the authors deliberately avoid making graphs, calculus, and specialist jargon the gateway to understanding. This does not mean that economic mechanisms disappear. Instead, the reader is asked to consider them through clear language, limited resources require choices. Wants can exceed available goods, and individual decisions occur within wider systems of markets, rules, and institutions. The recurring walk structure also prevents the material from becoming a purely chronological history of theories. It gives the book a conversational rhythm in which questions can be introduced before they are formalized. For general readers, this approach has a real instructional advantage. It lowers the intimidation associated with economics, while preserving the sense that the subject concerns connected problems rather than isolated definitions. Monty is thus less an economic expert than a reminder that the most important economic questions shape daily life, including the lives of those who never study the discipline formally. Thirdly, the book connects classical and modern thinkers to changes in economic life. The book introduces a range of economic thinkers, explicitly spanning Adam Smith to Thomas Piketty, within a wider account of how economic ideas developed alongside changing social conditions. This historical dimension is important because concepts such as markets, industrial production, class, competition, and inequality did not arise in a vacuum. They were responses to particular transformations in how goods were made, labor was organized, and wealth was accumulated. Smith's place in an introduction signals the importance of exchange, specialization, and the emergence of modern political economy. The inclusion of Karl Marx and the Industrial Revolution, indicated by the book's contents, broadens the picture by directing attention to capitalism's social conflicts and the consequences of rapid industrial change. Bringing the discussion forward to Piketty further emphasizes that questions of wealth concentration and distribution remain active rather than settled. The likely value of this survey is not a comprehensive account of each theorist's work. A short, non-technical introduction cannot provide that. Its value is orientation. Readers see that economics has always contained competing interpretations of how economies work and whom they serve. The historical sequence also discourages the assumption that current arrangements are inevitable or natural. Economic systems are shaped by institutions and ideas, and studying their history helps explain why contemporary arguments over inequality, markets, and policy carry both analytical and ethical weight. Fourthly, competition, monopoly, and collusion show why markets depend on their rules. Among the subjects identified in the book's contents are monopolies, oligopolies, collusion, and competition. Together, these topics address a central misconception in introductory economics that a market automatically produces competitive outcomes simply because buyers and sellers exist. Competition depends on conditions such as meaningful choice, the possibility of entry by new firms, and limits on coordinated behavior among powerful producers. A monopoly concentrates control in one supplier, while an oligopoly involves a small number of major firms whose decisions can strongly affect one another and the market. Collusion highlights the danger that firms may cooperate to limit rivalry rather than compete on price, quality, or innovation. These distinctions matter for ordinary consumers because market structure can affect what they pay, the alternatives available to them, and the leverage workers or smaller businesses possess. They also matter for public policy. Rules against anti-competitive behavior are not external to market activity, but can be necessary conditions for the kind of competition often praised in economic debate. The book's accessible treatment is valuable because it turns apparently technical labels into questions about power and choice. Rather than presenting the market as a single, uniform entity, it encourages readers to ask who has influence within a given market and whether its rules produce rivalry, exclusion, or concentrated control. That is a more realistic foundation for evaluating claims about economic freedom and efficiency. Lastly, money creation and national wealth link everyday curiosity to macroeconomic policy. The book uses questions such as, what does quantitative easing mean? And why are some countries richer than others? To extend its introduction beyond household choices and individual markets, quantitative easing is a useful example because it demonstrates that money and financial policy are institutional matters, not simply personal finance topics. In broad terms, it refers to central bank measures intended to influence financial conditions when conventional interest rate policy is constrained. Explaining the term in plain language can help readers recognize why monetary policy is discussed in relation to borrowing, investment, inflation, asset values, and economic recovery. The question of why countries differ in wealth is broader still. It resists explanations that attribute national prosperity to a single cause. Long-run differences are commonly connected to history, productive capacity, education, institutions, technology, trade, natural resources, and political conditions. Although these factors interact in complex ways, the book's contribution is to make such large questions approachable without pretending they have simple answers. It directs readers from familiar economic effects toward the systems that shape them. This is especially useful for non-experts who may encounter terms such as quantitative easing in news coverage without a framework for interpreting them. By pairing policy language with the enduring issue of development, the book shows that economics operates at several levels at once: personal decisions, business behavior, public institutions, and the uneven prosperity of entire societies. In conclusion, How to Teach Economics to Your Dog is best suited to readers who want a first encounter with economics without the formal apparatus of a conventional textbook. It should also work well for people returning to the subject after a long gap, students seeking a readable companion before moving into more technical material, and general readers who encounter economic language in public debate but want clearer foundations. Its practical benefit lies in improving the reader's ability to recognize the questions behind familiar terms: how scarcity shapes choices, why market power matters, how monetary policy enters public discussion, and why wealth is distributed unevenly across people and countries. Intellectually, it encourages a more balanced understanding of the field by placing ethical and historical questions beside economic mechanisms. What distinguishes the book from many introductory economics titles is not a claim to replace rigorous study. It is its deliberate refusal to make technical presentation the price of entry. The walks with Monty create a light, coherent framework, while the absence of graphs and calculus keeps attention on explanation, vocabulary, and the relevance of ideas to ordinary life. At the same time, its range, from Adam Smith and Marx to Piketty, from competition to quantitative easing, prevents the book from becoming merely a collection of personal finance tips. Readers needing detailed models, data analysis, or policy evaluation will need more advanced sources afterward. But as an inviting map of the subject's major questions, its combination of whimsy, historical breadth, and conceptual seriousness gives it a distinctive place among popular economics introductions. If you would like to support Rebecca Campbell, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.